You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Well, on the 23rd of March, the Department of Conservation hut and campsite bookings were ceased when New Zealand was back at alert level 2 and backcountry huts were closed under alert level 3. However, the department has now announced that bookings for the Great Walks will reopen between yesterday and tomorrow, with the exception of the Milford and Rootburn tracks, which are still undergoing storm repairs. You can expect to book those two later in July or August. Other than those two great walks, booking for all other dock huts and campsites will reopen on the 25th of June. I spoke to Eugenie Sage about this.
They're open for bookings, and it's a great opportunity for New Zealanders to get out into our backyards and experience some really spectacular landscapes. What DOC has found in the past is that when bookings open, because New Zealanders are competing with international visitors, the hut bookings fill up very, very quickly. The department has said that international residents shouldn't book at the moment when our borders are closed. So it's a chance for New Zealanders to book for areas like Milford Track when that opens in July, or book for the walks that are open for business, like the Paparoa 29, Lake Waikare Moana, Abel Tasman and Rakiura and the Hifi.
And so you mentioned, yeah, two of those great walks, the Milford and the Rootburn, are currently undergoing storm repairs, so they won't be open until a little bit later in the year.
There was major storm damage from a big storm in March. With a changing climate, we're getting more intense weather events. That caused significant damage on the Rootburn and the Milford tracks. It really caused damage to the Howden Hut on the Rootburn and took out bridges and the like on a length of the Sandfly Point end of the track at Milford. The government in Budget 2020 provided $13 million for track and infrastructure repairs. That work is underway at the moment, so it's expected that the Rootburn and Milford tracks will be open later this year, so bookings for that will open in July, August.
And so I wonder, this might be a little bit off topic from what we're talking about directly today, but I wanted to know your thoughts on perhaps future-proofing these tracks and facilities, as we're inevitably going to be facing similar weather events such as floods with increasing frequency due to the effects of climate change.
Changing climate is meaning more intense weather events, and so I've asked the department to ensure that the work that's being done on the Rootburn and Milford and other tracks takes that into account and aims to make the visitor facilities and infrastructure more resilient. Issues like on the Abel Tasman, for example, the department has had to move emergency campgrounds further back from the coast, because in some events the reach of the waves and just the wind and the waves was affecting existing campgrounds. So a changing climate is having an impact on visitor facilities, huts and tracks and campgrounds on the conservation estate, and the Department of Conservation is looking at how to make those facilities more resilient.
And so I noted that the other huts and campsites owned by DOC will be opening later this month after the Great Walks on the 25th, and I understand that you're using a new online booking service. And I was wondering, is that going to replace the old system entirely, where you'd go to an information centre or DOC office to buy your hut passes?
The Department of Conservation has invested a lot in upgrading the booking system for these huts, tracks, campgrounds, which are owned by all New Zealanders and operated by the department on behalf of the New Zealand public. And the online system, with the online information on the DOC website, provides a really good guide to the tracks, what people can expect to see, the conditions that they can expect. So it won't replace people calling in at visitor centres, but it is more efficient and people can get a lot more information online. But would encourage people, before they go out on any of these tracks, to let someone know before they go, to check the weather and the track conditions, and to make sure they take the necessary food, water, clothing and equipment. And calling into visitor centres, information centres, is often a really good way to talk to DOC staff and get the latest info on the tracks and the conditions.
And now, health has obviously been a big topic lately, and increasingly mental health, as people are still adjusting to having been inside for a number of weeks. And I wanted to know your thoughts on the health benefits of getting out in nature in our national parks.
What the alert levels showed, and more New Zealanders walking locally, and more people reporting birds. And I don't think it was that there are increased birds in our cities and towns. It's just people were taking the time to notice them. And getting out in nature is always a way for me of just restoring a sense of balance and well-being. And I think the exercise, being out in the weather, the sunshine, or even if it's raining, and just connecting with nature is a really good basis for well-being.
I think it's interesting how you noted, about people seeing more birds, because I also heard articles throughout lockdown about people talking about an increase in pests, because obviously a lot of the pest control projects were being disturbed by that. And I was wondering how the department was planning to get on track and what role the $148 million funding from the government will play in that.
There has been a huge commitment in Budget 2020 to nature-based jobs, $1.1 billion investment in extra funding over 4 years. And a big chunk of that, over $140 million, is for pest and predator control. A chunk of that will be going to predator-free New Zealand, with really ambitious plans to be predator-free by 2050. That goes into landscape-scale projects, working with landholders, community organisations, iwi and hapu, to eradicate possums, rats and stoats in areas that can be defended from re-invasion. And a chunk of it too will go to community organisations to assist in some of the more localised predator-free trapping projects that we've got around cities and towns across the motu.
Now, I have a quote here from Nationals conservation spokesperson Jackie Dean, saying that DOC has been showing a lack of compassion towards tourism businesses which hold concessions to operate on conservation land throughout the lockdown. I was wondering if you would be able to comment on that.
The lockdown and the closure of the borders has really had a huge impact on tourism businesses. So the government's responded with the wage subsidy. All the concessionaires operating on conservation land, they can apply for that if they're eligible. And government recently announced a $400 million package of assistance for the tourism industry, protecting our strategic tourism assets. The Prime Minister recently, or today, announced some of that will be used to help Kaikoura Whale Watch, recognising the central importance of whale watch to tourism in Kaikoura. And there is also the work the department has been doing, working with operators one-on-one to understand their circumstances. There was a waiver of, a delay. People were given an extra month to pay invoices. A lot of the concession fees are activity-based. They're on a per-person basis. So if the visitors aren't being guided, for example, then the operators won't be paying that activity fee to DOC. So utterly reject National's comment about a lack of compassion. This government recognises the pressure on the tourism sector, and with the $400 million package, the wage subsidy for businesses has responded to that.
And kind of talking about tourism and also international visitors, I would like to lastly turn to the differential pricing, which I understand there was a trial going on the past 2 years, and I was wanting to know what the outcomes of that trial is, as well as what is differential pricing.
Differential pricing was where international visitors were paying twice what New Zealanders paid to stay in a hut on a Great Walk, and the department undertook the trial for two summer seasons. The results of that showed that there was a bit of feeling that the twice the rate was a bit much. So it's planned to have a rate that's 1.5 times for international visitors what New Zealanders pay for a night in a hut on a Great Walk. So there's no charge to walk the track, but people do pay to stay in a hut. And this recognises that international visitors can contribute more to the costs of maintaining those Great Walks.
And so will you be going ahead with that 1.5 differential pricing this year?
No, I think that's not on the books for this year, but it will be reinstated after that.
That was me, Bronwyn, talking to Eugenie Sage about the reopening of the Dock Great Walks. Booking for Abel Tasman, Hifi Kepler, Lake Waikaremoana, Paparoa, Rakiura, Tongariro and the Whanganui River journey should all be open by tomorrow. And some of those are already open, so you can go and check it out and book online. Other huts and campsites will be the 25th of this month, but note you'll need to make one of those online user accounts, which you can only do by the 23rd of June.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.